Hello, this is Alan Seal from the Center for Transformational Presence at transformationalpresence.org, and welcome to this Transformational Leadership Dialogue with my guest, Mark Vandeneinde. Just to make sure that everything's working with the sound, would you just press 3 on your keypad if you can hear me, just so I can see that. Great. Okay. Super. Thank you very much. I got it. Now I know that you can hear. Super. So welcome again. The Center for Transformational Presence is, I keep trying to find the best way to describe who we are and what we're about. We're about helping people do big things in the world. We're about helping people learn to think differently, to perceive differently, to understand how life works, and to dream big dreams and bring those dreams into reality, especially dreams that are all about making a difference in the world, creating a world that works. So I'm very excited to have all of you with us today. People keep coming in. We have over 100 people signed up for this call today. And so we'll leave everybody on mute just to keep a quiet space for the call, the conversation with Mark and me. The two of us will talk for maybe a half an hour, 40 minutes or so, and then we'll open it up to questions and see what wants to come from you here during this time. So again, welcome everyone to this Transformational Leadership Dialogue. I do just want to say one other thing that, we host these leadership dialogues periodically. They're not exactly a regular thing, but every now and then another one comes up. And we always post those in our weekly newsletter, The Transformer. If you're not signed up for our newsletter, please feel free to go to the website, transformationalpresence.org, and just sign up there. Then you'll know about things like this coming up in the future. Also, there are tremendous resources on our website of transformationalpresence.org, specifically recordings of many transformational leadership dialogues from the past, many of them between David Robinson and myself. So you will find those on under the Resources tab. Just click on Media Center and then Audio Learning. So that's the Resources tab to Media Center to audio recordings, and then you'll find lots more resources there to support you. So again, welcome, and let's dive in. Mark Vandeneinde, I'm so excited to have you with us today. You and I have had amazing conversations over the last few years since we first met, and I'm so excited about who you are in the world and what you're doing in the world. Mark is the co-founder of a global assessment and coaching organization called Being at Full Potential. And his role there is to help leaders in business and nonprofits and in government access and unlock the full human potential of their organizations. As he says, a lot of that work requires translating the sort of new emerging organizational paradigms into really concrete, relevant, easy to understand solutions for the realities of today's executives, today's organizations. So Mark is really kind of bridging two worlds as he's been doing that, and specifically in his real entrepreneurial journey, Mark has learned some really big lessons about what it takes to succeed in this, well, what he calls a being entrepreneur. I love that term and how he's using that. So in this first part of our dialogue today, this is a two-part series. So today we'll be exploring these insights of his, and then next week we'll introduce a framework that can make it easier for you to also navigate this adventurous path of being entrepreneur. So Mark, welcome. It's just so great to have you here.
Thank you, Alan. It's a real honor and pleasure to be with you and to be with everyone on this call. I just want to thank you for this opportunity. Thank you very much for this opportunity and for all the support that you have given me over the last 4 years, because it has been, you know, you've been with me along this journey and supported me in many ways. And I just also want to thank all the people for joining in on the call. I was very moved to find out that there were, you know, up to 100 people who have registered, and many of those, I guess, on the call tonight. So I feel very connected to all of you, and I really look forward to seeing where this conversation goes, and hopefully I can help a little bit in some way with the experiences that I've had.
Great, thank you, Mark. And you know, I've been so impressed, but also deeply touched in many ways by the things that you've written, the videos that you've created, the presentation pieces that you've created, that are such honest accounts of your journey. And when you first sent me a document, I don't know, maybe a year and a half or 2 years ago now, about just what you've learned, I think there were 7 or 10 points or something of big learnings for yourself over this journey into being entrepreneurship. I just thought, this is such powerful material, because, as you said, it's not about how are we going to make a six-figure income with this, how are we going to, you know, all the big marketing things, but rather, here's the reality of it. And from someone who is so conscious of every step that you take, I so admire that about you and respect that about you, that you are very conscious and take every step with such clear intention. So thank you for that. And I wonder if you could maybe start by just telling us, when did you embark on this journey into entrepreneurship? How did that happen? And, you know, what triggered it?
Sure. So, like I said, it's been 4 years now since I left a good job in a large multinational organization, where I was working in the area of market research, market research, and and I was doing that for about 10 years. And I guess the whole time, I mean, even before that, but especially during that job, I had this sense that there was that I didn't quite fit, that there was something else that, you know, that I needed to be doing, but I had no idea what it was until about a few years before I left, you know, maybe 1 or 2 years before I left. And there what started to become clear, I started to really see that, you know, there was huge untapped potential, you know, dormant potential in this organization that I was working, and I assumed that that was a representative of many other organizations. And I just saw a lot of very brilliant people, people with great ideas and lots of fresh energy kind of coming in and not being able to fully express that. So I think that was one of the big triggers for me to say, okay, I think there's so much more that can be done. I want to go, find out what that is, and I want to play a role in helping organizations leverage that, tap into that, access that. At one point there was a feeling of readiness. I still had no idea where it would take me or how it would take shape or how it was all going to work. But I did feel ready. You know, there was this inner sense of, yes, now is the time. And I made the choice. And in January 2010, I resigned and I started down this path. And now 4 years later, you know, I'm starting to be able to connect some of the dots. You know, there's still many dots that are unconnected, but some of them have started to come together. And what's also interesting is, you know, the fact that I was in market research, and part of my role was to come to deep learnings, you know, learnings that would help the organization move forward. And, you know, during your introduction, you said these 7 lessons. You know, I'm realizing now actually what I was doing when I wrote those 7 lessons as an entrepreneur is again, you know, trying to get to the essence of what did I learn and how does that help, you know, others to move forward. So a lot of parallels what I'm doing now to what I was doing before, but in very different contexts. But I'm definitely leveraging a lot of what I've learned back in those days.
You know, I remember when we first met, which was in a manifestation wheel workshop outside of Zurich, I guess probably in 2009, because you were already, this was sort of in progress. You were still in the company, I believe, at that time, but already knowing that you were kind of on your way out and making plans for that. And when I look at this shift that's happened inside of you at that point, kind of this you were so kind of wide open for whatever was going to come, and a lot of excitement around that, and at the same time kind of not sure of where you were going and what was going to happen. And then, you know, we've kind of progressed on since then, and watching you through this journey, you've come now all the way to this place of talking about a being entrepreneur, and I'm just curious, so what does that mean, a being entrepreneur? I can make up my own story about that, and also, how is that different? We hear a lot about social entrepreneurism these days, and then just entrepreneurism in lots of kind of ways, especially in today's economy. This is a time that's ripe for a lot of people to step into entrepreneurism and, you know, kind of find their own path. So talk to us about a being entrepreneur.
Okay, so I guess I my idea of entrepreneurship had always been, you know, somebody with ideas, somebody who was willing to, you know, step out of the norm a little bit, take some risks, and who was able to spot opportunity. You know, I think that was kind of, you know, a key idea I had about entrepreneurship. You know, you're able to tap into an unmet need in the marketplace and go and fill that and go and find ways to create products and services around that. And be nimble and be agile and be fast and be creative about it. And I realized that, you know, that's not, that wasn't actually what I was doing. You know, I didn't realize that right away, but I kind of realized that a little bit along the way, that wasn't exactly what I was doing. And what I was doing was actually, rather than responding to a need in the marketplace, I was responding to an inner calling that was happening within me. And there was this deep sense of, you know, this is what you are called to do. And, you know, when I looked around me in the environment and started talking to people, it was like, what do you want to do as an entrepreneur? And there wasn't a lot of, oh yeah, that's great. You know, tell me more about this. And, you know, I could see how that would help us here and there. So there was actually, you know, in the beginning, there was quite a, you know, a big disconnect between the people that I felt called to serve, which is organization leaders and organizations, and their readiness to step into the type of work that I wanted to be doing with them. And, you know, I guess being an entrepreneur is somebody who goes ahead anyway and believes that the need is there. It's just that the need has not been recognized yet and not fully acknowledged yet. And that's okay, you know, and that it's going to take time for that to be acknowledged and recognized. And part of a role of the being entrepreneur is to help people start to become aware of that, you know, in ways that make sense to them, in ways that are relevant to them. And that's really been, you know, the essence of a lot of the work that I've been doing.
You talk about coming to this from your own sort of a calling inside of you. What is that calling that took you into this journey?
Yeah, it's you know, this is you know, this goes back to work, you know, work I did, you know, back in 2009 at the Manifestation Wheel. You know, there was very powerful insights I got there around, you know, what my calling is. And again, it's not something that you can understand necessarily fully at the time, but it was clearly around opening hearts. So helping people connect to their hearts and then see beyond the current, you know, realities in which they're operating. So that's really been the driving force, and, you know, and I've been applying a lot of that with businesses and organizations, you know, in that context. But what's underlying that is this desire to help people open up and open their hearts.
You know, as you talk about it as a calling, and we talk about it here as a soul mission, and that energy, what I'm kind of hearing you say is then that's the energy that was driving you, and to create a business around that, the entrepreneurism was just it's a vehicle through which then you can live that. Does that make sense? Does that resonate for you, that the business just becomes a vehicle for living that calling?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And in many ways, I call it a business because I don't have another name for it, but it's, it's not really a business in the sense that, in kind of the traditional, it is and it isn't. And, maybe we'll get to that a little bit later, but it really is a vehicle. It is a vehicle for doing the work that, that I'm here to do. Yeah. Very much.
Well,
so.
I'd love to stay with that just for a moment, because it's not, I understand completely what you mean. It's not a business in the traditional kind of sense, and it's also not a service that you offer. There's something here about just a way of being, and this calling forth of being. I'm wondering what, that's a kind of an interesting thing to explore so what is this really? I don't know. I don't have an answer for that, but I just, I sort of tease out with the people who are listening as well, because I think that's something for all of us to, a lot of what we're doing, it kind of doesn't fit a traditional model of this is a business, or it's not, you couldn't say that we're in a service industry. We're not just in a, it's on the forms you fill out, it's that category of other, or professional services or something. But it's so much more than what we are offering, those of us who are called to do this kind of work in the world. What we're offering is so much more than a business or a service or a professional service or consulting or even coaching or whatever. It's so much bigger than all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for sticking with that, because it actually is very important. And
it's a whole new kind of language that we have to keep finding. And I know that's something that you're kind of doing and discovering. Well, as you look back, we've already mentioned these seven lessons, and I don't know whether you're going to talk specifically about those seven lessons, but share with us what are some of the most important learnings for you that you've come across that can mean something for the rest of us here.
Yeah. So actually it builds on really beautifully on what we're just talking, because I would say that the first learning for me as I look back is how I think about success and how important it is to really think about what success means as a being entrepreneur. And when I first started back in 2010, I just kind of, I didn't think about it. I was in the mode of, okay, I'm starting my business and in 3 years I want to be, at the same financial income level as I was in my previous job. So I had this whole plan worked out. Year one, I need to, have so many clients, so much income. Year two, year three, and then I would be kind of, back on track. And rationally, it made, lots of sense, and that would be the right way to do it. And what I started to realize is I came to a point not far into it, maybe like a year, 6 months, a year into it, where I started to realize that if I wanted to really stay true to that calling, my financial goals would not be met. If I wanted to meet my financial goals, then I would have to dilute what I was doing in a way, or change it and become more of operate more in the mainstream. So offer a bit more, marketing, research, consulting services, etc. And there were lots of opportunities to do that. And I actually did dabble into that, but it didn't feel right, and so luckily I did kind of come back and say, no, stay focused. What needs to change is not what you're doing. What needs to change is how you think about success. And that was a huge turning point, because I realized that I was bundling success with the idea of sustainable, you know, having something that is a business that is sustainable. And I was putting those two together. And when I realized that it doesn't have to be like that, you can actually separate the two. You can be successful and not necessarily have a sustainable business at this point in time. And that was a huge eye-opener. And it was hugely empowering for me to say, okay, you know, I'm in this for the long term. And, you know, my personal situation allowed me to do this. You know, so there, I was very fortunate for that. But I was able to say, okay, I don't have to worry about the financial aspect right now. I know it's important. It needs to come. You know, and it will come. But it's not. It doesn't have to be what's driving me at this point in time. And I was able, that allowed me to say, okay, well, what does success mean then? And that opened up a huge door, because then I could start to say, well, actually, what success could mean for me is how well am I engaging people with the material that I'm bringing forward? How well am I able to get people to sit down and have a conversation with me and open their minds, open their hearts, you know, and experience that and feel that? And that was a really very important and very interesting, because every time I would go out and I would have a meeting, I would come back and I would say, well, how did that feel for me, you know? And did it trigger interest? Did it engage the person? Did the conversation lead to something new? And if it did, then I would say, yes, okay, I'm on the right track. Continue. Move forward. If I was running into a period where I wasn't doing that, then I would say, okay, I'm not on the right track. You know, this is not what success looks like. So what needs to change within me? What needs to change in the way that I'm approaching people, in the way that I'm engaging people, in the way that I'm being with people? So this was a huge, huge thing, and it opened up so many creative avenues for me, because then the question was, okay, well, what type of media, material, stimulus, things can I start creating that will engage people? And I started working with film, which I had never done before. And that, you know, that was a whole new adventure, and, you know, it continues to evolve for me. I started writing, I started, you know, storytelling, lots of different things that I'd always felt some attraction to, but I had never actually stepped into in this kind of way. So that was a long answer to your question.
No, but it's so beautiful. And I remember, you know, when we talked last week and we talked about this whole success and sustainability piece, and how, there are just so many different ways to define success and so many different kinds of success that we could talk about here. And being able to separate, especially this, the being entrepreneur piece of recognizing that success there has so much to do with, it sounds like you're saying, has so much to do with, number one, a very long-term view. It has to do with what's happening in personal fulfillment and how many lives do you feel like you're touching, as opposed to how big is your bank account getting. It's just a kind of a different focus there. And certainly we have to all find whatever we need to find in order for our lives to be sustainable. Yes, you acknowledge that you were kind of in a situation where it was okay. You could go for a period of time not having to worry about the financial aspect as much. So we all have to find our own balance with that. What can we do and what can we not do? But this separation there, to realize that, I guess the word I keep hearing is heart success. As you're talking, I just kept hearing this word heart success, and realizing that it's okay. It's much more than okay for us to follow that feeling of heart success.
Yeah, that's beautifully said. That really is, and it's about checking in and how is the heart doing, you know, regularly. And the more you do that, the more you're paying attention, you know, the more you pay attention to the inner, you know, the inner life that's taking place, and I guess, yeah, that gets reflected out, of course. So.
And this piece that you're bringing too about how important it is to be really clear about what is it that creates heart success for you. I mean, what the picture looked like, you were kind of learning as you were going and finding, yeah, this really is feeding me. No, this isn't particularly. So that you could keep refining that. But for us to be clear about what is truly feeding my heart, and to make sure even in those early stages when maybe, yeah, life still also has to be sustainable, so there has to be an income from someplace, but how do I keep bringing what feeds my heart into every aspect of my life and make sure that that's still there? Then maybe if I still have to do my day job for a while, you know, while I'm building this other piece, it's we're finding the fulfillment. We're finding the heart success. I love how you're talking about that. Well, so move on to some of the other lessons.
Yeah. I mean, just one other thing on the sustainability piece, because I assume, you know, that's a big question for many people. One of the things I realized is that what I thought I needed to be sustainable, you know, when I started off this journey, which was, you know, a similar income as before, I very quickly realized that I only need a fraction of that, you know, really I need nowhere near that amount to be fulfilled. And that was a really big eye-opening, you know, just to realize that there's such a gap between what I thought I needed and what I actually needed. So that was really interesting.
Yeah, thank you for that.
And then the other I would say key learning that I'd like to share is this difference between truly being in service to the target that you want to help or support versus selling. You know, I think there's a really critical distinction there as well that. That I made at some point, and I started to approach the target much more from a place of service, and that then helped me look at their situation and really acknowledge this is where they're at. How can I serve you? How can I innovate? How can I create in ways that will truly serve these people versus saying, okay, I have these ideas, I have these products, I have these programs, and I'm going to try and I need to convince people that they need it, for example. And again, it's subtle, but it was a very important shift for me.
So that kind of ties into something else that you and I had talked about, this whole idea of really owning a topic and pushing the boundaries, not necessarily expecting others to understand, and being clear about what you're bringing forward, yet at the same time I hear you saying, and paying attention to what are people needing right there and meeting them at their need. So can you talk a little bit about that balance back and forth?
Yeah. So in the introduction you talked about the bridge, you know, that I saw myself as a bridge.
Yeah.
Between a new paradigm that's evolving and the current reality. And what I thought before was, you know, I'll go a little bit down that bridge, you know, and then people will come and meet me halfway. And then we'll kind of come to a place of understanding and, you know, we'll find the projects and things will kind of move forward. And I had to acknowledge that, no, this is not how it's going to work. If I truly want to serve and be of service, then it's my job and my responsibility to go all the way to where they're at, and to really understand the reality of that they're in, that these people are in, and create ways of engaging them from that reality. And that was a really, really important and really empowering, actually, to acknowledge that for myself, to say, actually, I can do that. I can, you know. And everybody tells me that the business world is not ready for what you want to do. And yeah, you know, I could accept that, or I could say, actually, nobody has successfully managed to talk about these concepts in relevant ways, in ways that are engaging enough for the people in these positions. And that was just a way of reframing it, and a very empowering way of reframing it.
Yeah. Hmm. So what are you learning then about crossing all the way over the bridge? And then do you just go over there and stay? Do you kind of move back and forth? What does that look like? I'm not sure exactly what I'm asking, except, you know, what does it look like beyond an initial, initial conversation? And then how does it unfold from there?
Yeah, that's a great question. How does it look like? Is there a back and forth?
Just using the bridge metaphor, I mean, what?
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I think that maybe what I've realized is that actually the distance is not that great. You know, that we imagine the distance to be really great, but at the end of the day, you know, deep down, the yearnings are the same, and the aspirations are the same, and you know that we are deeply connected, and that we are moving in a similar direction. So maybe that has also changed for me, is this idea that, you know, we're not as separate as I thought we were, you know, and the bridge is not that long to travel, actually. So that and that moving over the bridge just is a gateway for huge creativity, and